Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we pray that you are having a great and glorious day. And we're going to be diving into the Word of God today. Want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete. They've been at Merritt Assembly of God longer than I've been at Merritt Assembly of God. They did work on the building before I ever did any work at the building. And they really, really know their stuff. I don't know what you've got planned for this summer, but if you've got something that you are working on that is going to require concrete, I highly recommend the folks at Jits Concrete. Greg's number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They have decades and decades of experience. They have tons and tons of expertise. And in with all of that, they also include a great work ethic at no extra charge. They really, really do a top-notch job. And I don't know what you've got planned. Last year, I had them do a couple of projects. I'm telling you, it was a great, great improvement over what I had. And if you've got something on the horizon, the folks at Jits Concrete may be a blessing to you. 321-536-5804 in case you need to get in touch with them. And so we would like to also wish you all a happy Father's Day that had a Father's Day this last weekend. And so I flew out and celebrated briefly with my father, and then I had to fly back because I have things I've got to do. And so it was a quick trip, and I hope if your father is still alive that you were able to connect with him and wish him a happy Father's Day. So we're going to go today to the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading in verse 31. We're going to read from 31 through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 38. We're not going to get to all of that today because the first part of the passage has a great deal of information that we're going to elaborate on. Verse number 31 of Mark chapter 8 says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.' And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" So we dive in verse number 31, and it says that Jesus began to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Now, if you want to see your crowd shrink in a hurry, you start talk about suffering. We're going to address some things here that Jesus shared with his disciples. And I think because it's not necessarily a popular subject, that many times we shy away from dealing with these things. And these are things that everybody deals with. Everybody deals with it. And so let's dive in here. This first statement here, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And what is being talked about here is the plan of God. If you go back into the book of Isaiah, you are going to find that there are discussions there on the suffering servant. And again, nobody likes to talk about suffering. Everybody talks about health and prosperity and doing good. But Isaiah 53 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, from the transgressions of my people. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." There had been a plan of God in place since before the foundation of the world. And a lot of times, because of some of our limited understanding, whenever we hit difficult seasons, we may begin to question that there really is a plan, that it is a plan of God, and that it's a good plan. But I'm here to tell you that all three things are true in Jesus' life, and they're also true in your life. So, the first thing that I want you to know is that there is a plan for your life. Now, you need to understand that the devil has a plan for your life, but God also has a plan for your life. God created you on purpose for a purpose, and the devil wants to try and distract you and destroy you from being able to fulfill that purpose. But Jesus teaches his disciples, there's a plan. There's a plan. And so if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the very last chapter of that gospel, in verse number 15, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' In verse 17, he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.' Listen to this. 'Most assuredly, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Then Peter, in verse 20, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?' Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, 'But Lord, what about this man?' Jesus said to him, 'If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me.'" So Jesus explained to Peter that in spite of his denial, in spite of his moments of faith, in spite of his outbursts of violence against Malchus and he cut off his ear, that in spite of Jesus rebuking him, which we read about here in Mark chapter 8, that the plan of God for Simon Peter's life was still in place. So I'm very, very thankful for the plan that God had for Jesus, because Jesus giving his life on Calvary is the only way that my sin and your sin could have been forgiven. Because of the stripes that he received upon his back, it was not just an outburst of human anger and hatred towards Jesus. God had a redemptive purpose in it. There was a plan. God always has a plan. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And there is a plan that is for that. You and I have got to be willing, like Jesus, to walk in obedience and faithfulness to the plan. The thing is that the plan for everyone's life and the steps that God orders for them may not always be the same. When Jesus confronts Peter here on the shoreline and he says, look, when you are old, they're going to carry you where you don't want to go. And this is how you are going to glorify me in your death. And Peter looks and says, what's the plan for his life? And then Jesus, you know, quite simply asks him, you know, the plan that I have for his life, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? What is the plan of that person's life got to do with whether or not you are going to walk in faithfulness and walk in faith and joy and love? What has that got to do with God's plan for your life? And so there is a plan. It is a plan of God, and it's a good plan. It may not always look good from an earthly perspective, but it is always going to be great from a heavenly perspective. And so that's the first thing from Mark 8, chapter 31, that Jesus began to teach them. He began to teach them about the plan of the Father for Jesus' life, that plan was going to take him to the cross. Okay? Not a popular message, not a popular plan, but from our perspective, looking back and realizing the redemptive purpose of the cross, we can see it was a great plan. So God has a plan for your life. Don't let the things of this life distract you from pursuing God's plan and walking in obedience to that plan. The second thing is he says that I am going to be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. I can tell you that I hate rejection. I don't like it at all. Rejection is something that no one really cares for. So I saw some videos a few weeks ago. It was in the springtime sometime. And a person posted their videos of the modern way in which you find out whether you've been accepted to a college. Or if you filled out an application, how you can find out that you didn't get the job. I sent out like 200 resumes after my wife and I got married, looking for ministry opportunities. I sent them all over. I sent them to Alaska. I sent them to North Dakota. I sent them to Podunk Holler. You name it. I sent resumes there. And I got very good at being rejected because that was the only thing that was out there. And if you're not careful, you can begin to think that rejection by men is the same as rejection by God. It's not. You can think that if you get rejected for a promotion, that means you've been rejected by God. That rejection for a promotion may not be punitive. It may be protective. You say, but I really need the financial boost. That's probably true. But I'm here to tell you that God will provide and do it in a way that is not going to be detrimental to your marriage or detrimental to your family or detrimental to your faith. So if you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, I want you to know that Jesus, it was prophesied that he was going to be rejected. It is confirmed here in the New Testament. It's prophesied by Jesus here that he would be rejected, not just by one group of people, but by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. He was going to be rejected over and over again. So in Psalm 118, there are three verses, and we tend to quote all three of these verses, but we don't always quote them together. And together is the context in which we can maybe get a better picture of what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples in the rejection by the scribes and the Pharisees and the others. So verse number 22, this is referring to Jesus. This is called a messianic prophecy. It says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So when I was growing up, I hated rejection. I hated rejection if I was asking someone out on a date. I hated rejection if I didn't get the job that I wanted. I had a problem where I had experienced rejection so much that it was traumatizing to me, so I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And God had a cure for that. And that was, he put me in retail sales and in retail management. And I was very good at my job, but every single day I faced rejection more than I faced acceptance. Here, this passage in Psalm 118 describes the rejection of Jesus by people that he created, and they said, "You are not good enough for us. You are not good enough for the purpose that we have." And a lot of times when we are rejected, we take that personal and we begin to look at ourselves as inferior simply because other people didn't recognize what God had done inside of us. So here it said, the stone which the builders rejected, and again in Mark chapter 8, it's the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, they all reject him, and it says here that the builders rejected it, but God has made Jesus the chief cornerstone. It says in verse number 23, this was the Lord's doing. So please do not reject Jesus from your everyday life. The chief cornerstone was absolutely essential for the rest of the structure to be built the way that it needed to be built, the way that it was designed, the way that the walls would be square, that they would be upright, that they would be able to support everything that was in the architect's design, in this case, the way that God designed it. This was the Lord's doing. The rejection by the religious leadership set Jesus up not to bear the burden of men's rejection, but instead to be an example of what God the Father actually approved of. And so a person taught in our Sunday school class years ago, they said, as Christians, we should rejoice over God's no as much as we rejoice over God's yes. Because God knows the plan, he also knows the purpose, and the rejection of men does not equal rejection by God. Sometimes God does that to show that those people simply didn't know what they were doing. So how will you respond to Jesus in your life? Will you reject him the way that others did, or will you build your life around him and cause him to be the focal point and the priority of your life? Jesus was teaching the disciples about this, and Peter's not going to like it. Verse number 23 says, it is marvelous in our eyes. So don't allow your focus, your visual focus, to be on the opinions of men and what they reject, but instead fix your eyes on what the Father has approved, what the Father has blessed, what the Father has anointed, that he set in place to make your life everything he wants it to be. So there's a plan. Don't let the rejection of men distract you from the plan that God has. Verse number 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So how do you handle rejection? You recognize that God is still working behind the scenes, that he is working a better plan than the plan of men. So if you've been rejected from the God, from a job. Maybe you've been rejected from relationships and things like that. You look at it and say, you know what? God does great things. He does marvelous things. He orders my steps and directs my path. He keeps me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. So I'll end today's program by talking about the rest of the story of my rejection from over 200 resumes, from being told by a minister that I was worthless and I would never amount to anything in the ministry. I finally got so frustrated that after having lived for nearly 2 years of being ready to move into ministry at the drop of a hat, I finally unpacked everything. I said, we're getting everything out of the boxes. We are not living like this anymore. And the next day, a pastor called me. And one of the things that he said in the conversations is this: with your education and with your experience, I can't believe that someone hasn't snatched you up and put you to use in the kingdom of God. And I can tell you that those words still resonate in my spirit. He's like, I can't believe all those other people rejected you. Now listen, he's out in the middle of the boonies, but he was a person who pastored a community. He didn't just pastor a church. He is a good friend of mine to this day. And I can tell you, it wasn't all just, you know, peaches and cream and roses. There were some thorns along the way. But after all of the decades that I have walked with God, I can tell you that whenever rejection closed a door, God was there ready to open a better door. Today, you may not understand everything that's going on. I want you to trust God that God has a plan, that God's plan is a great plan, and you need to trust him. And don't fixate on men's rejection, but instead focus on making Jesus the focal point of your life, the chief cornerstone, not built upon emotion or education or intellect or anything, but that Jesus would bring glory to the Father and that you would bring glory to Jesus. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.